Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch is powered by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.
Hello and welcome to Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond, a podcast in which we'll be looking at ways to help students of English develop important skills for the 21st century. I'm your host, Louise Carlton-Gertsch. ChatGPT beautifully demonstrates how knowing and thinking are not the same thing. Knowing is committing facts to memory. Thinking is applying reason to those facts. The chatbot knows everything on the internet, but doesn't really think anything. Psychologist Angela Duckworth and computer scientist Lyle Unger made this interesting point in an opinion piece for the LA Times in January 2023. It was part of a plea for chatbots not to be banned from classrooms, but rather to use them to change the way that we teach. It was written in response to ChatGPT having been banned from New York City classrooms at the time. In an official statement, the New York City's Department of Education declared, "While the tool may be able to provide quick and easy answers to questions, it does not build critical thinking and problem-solving skills, which are essential for academic and lifelong success." But I would agree with Duckworth and Unger that chatbots such as ChatGPT most certainly do have a place in the classroom. And what's more, they can be used to hone these core skills, as well as enabling students to build agency. Skills that are essential in today's digital world. Today, so-called generative AI uses sophisticated machine learning models to generate new and original content, such as text, images, code, and audio, that's similar to, or indistinguishable from, content that could have been produced by humans. The problem is that generative AI models have limitations. They've not been trained to produce results that are in keeping with goals such as truth, reliability, or originality. Nor do they have any common sense, so they're known to generate results that are nonsensical and flawed. This can have significant consequences when AI hallucinates, so presents incorrect information as if it were a fact. Experts are concerned because this can lead to the perpetuation of biases, as well as the spread of misinformation or disinformation. Although there are often warnings, for instance, ChatGPT can make mistakes, consider checking important information, the question is, to what extent users take this into account and actually follow up on it? This is why it's so important that we enable students to acquire and build the skills they need, rather than leaving them to try to navigate these issues alone. There are many different generative AI applications, but today I'll be mainly referring to ChatGPT. To be able to use generative AI effectively, we need to learn how to formulate questions so that we get the responses that we're looking for as efficiently as possible. And as previously stated, it's also about not blindly accepting the responses that we're presented with and using them without further thought. In fact, there are different steps that we need to go through that will help to hone critical and creative thinking, as well as improving communication skills. These steps include considering our initial question, so defining the problem that we would like to solve and formulating it in an effective manner. We'll look at how to do this a little later. It can be helpful to think in terms of, what task do we want ChatGPT to fulfill? Then we need to evaluate ChatGPT's response. Where might we need to provide more information, be more specific, check facts? Then we have to probably reframe our question to make it more specific. The first response is often not perfect, so we need to experiment, add more context or details to reach something that's usable. Then we have to re-evaluate the response, check the facts behind the suggested response, and probably find appropriate sources to substantiate it. And then finally, we need to take the information and make it our own. In my opinion, this step is one that's imperative, as we all need to develop our own distinct voice. As we can see, if we use AI responsibly, this doesn't mean that we delegate our thinking or problem-solving skills, because at each step we're required to question, analyse, evaluate or check. What's more, as the paper Generative AI in the Classroom: From Hype to Reality, published by the OECD in July 2023 points out, using generative AI can also facilitate collaborative learning and agency. It explains, The process of collectively developing a hypothesis, refining prompts and questions towards this, and then evaluating outputs as a group could be a rich collaborative activity with high levels of student agency. Working with AI also provides an important lesson in what happens when we reach the limits of our knowledge. As Seth Godin noted in his blog post on 9th of March 2024, if AI is asked a question and isn't sure of the answer, it should admit to this by saying, "I'm not sure." As he points out, proudly and confidently bluffing isn't helpful. It also sets a bad example, especially in this day and age. We all need to learn to admit when we don't know an answer, rather than trying to bluff our way through something or pretend that we're right. Prompts are the instructions and commands that people write in the input line. Unlike with other software systems, these can be entered using natural language text, so we don't need to use computer code. While this means that anyone can use it, the quality of the output is only as good as the quality of the input, the so-called prompt. Today, prompt engineers are increasingly in demand. They design, develop, and refine AI-generated text prompts and optimize prompt performance, amongst other things. While some experts argue that there will be less need for carefully worded prompts as AI systems become better at understanding natural language, the ability to identify, analyze, and formulate a problem will remain a key skill for the future. So how do we formulate good prompts? Before we begin, it's important to think about what we want to achieve. While this might sound obvious, the clearer we are about our intentions, the better the prompt will be. For example, are we looking to test our knowledge of something? Or perhaps we want the answer to a question? Or maybe the outline of a text? And so on. In addition, being clear about our goal will also help us to evaluate the response provided. The next step is to think about how we can formulate our question as clearly and simply as possible. Vague prompts will produce vague results. Let's look at an example. Write a poem about a dog. There's no indication of how long the poem should be, whom it's for, the kind of style or tone it should be written in. So the result might well not be what we're looking for. Likewise, the task, summarize the article, is rather vague. Briefly summarize the main arguments in the article, for a non-native speaker of English, will lead to a more differentiated result. This is why context is key, as this not only sets the scene, but also enables the AI to generate content that's tailored to our needs. Thus, asking AI to write a 10-line humorous poem about a dog for an 8-year-old child will produce more defined results. AI needs enough background to understand the scenario, but unnecessary information should be avoided to prevent confusion. Adding a specific action or task for the AI to complete is helpful too. We can do this by adding a more specific verb. So by asking it to summarize the key points or compare the features of these two products, list 3 advantages of homeschooling, recommend a good film set in Northern Ireland, or create a marketing slogan for a bar of organic chocolate. This is much more helpful than asking it to tell me the key points. Likewise, condense the text is much more effective than rewrite this to be shorter. So as we can see, the language needs to be as precise as possible. This means too that we should avoid jargon or specialized technical language because the AI might not be so familiar with it. Slang, metaphors, and very idiomatic language can also prove confusing and may produce unexpected results. Specifying the format of the output is also important. Are we looking for a 50-word outline, a summary, a dialogue, or maybe results in tabular form? The more specific we can be, the better. Getting the AI to assume a particular role or profession can also help to create more interesting results. The instruction, act as if you're a scientist or as a teacher, is useful for initiating this. Compare the following 2 prompts. Explain what gene splicing is. Or, act as if you're a US high school teacher and briefly explain the concept of gene splicing to your 12-year-old students who've never heard of it. As can be seen in the latter example, it's also important to specify the length of the reply, either by the addition of a word such as briefly, although admittedly this is open to interpretation, or by specifying a number of words. As with most things, this should also be checked, as it's not necessarily a guarantee that the AI will stick to what it's told. Providing examples can help ChatGPT to produce more accurate results. So if you want it to write a book summary, giving it one or two examples will help it to generate in the style you're looking for. If the task is complicated, it's good to break it down into smaller, more manageable steps, as this makes it easier for AI to process and generate a response. Two major issues with the results are accuracy and bias, which is again where the need for critical thinking and agency become apparent. If we want to avoid a biased response, it's important to avoid asking leading questions. Asking, "Explain why Brexit was wrong," will obviously lead to a one-sided response. By asking follow-up questions such as, "Why do you think that?" or "What evidence supports your answer?" we can see whether the AI does have any basis for its claims. And of course, nobody gets everything right the first time around. The key to getting good responses is to reiterate, so to experiment and refine the prompt. What can we do in the classroom? Thinking of and refining prompts can be done as a collaborative exercise with the whole class, thus avoiding the need for students to have an account to access ChatGPT. But whatever task you set the students, it's important that they first think for themselves before they turn to AI. They should then go through the steps as previously mentioned and be encouraged to question the results they get and refine their prompts. The first response is not going to be the best. Here are a couple of ideas. Firstly, outlining an event in history. The students craft a prompt asking ChatGPT to outline an historical event. Once the prompt has been entered, refined, and they're happy with the response, they could compare this with an outline of the event in their textbook, or an encyclopedia, or other reliable source, and then answer the question, which one provides the best answer and why? Summarising reasons. Students ask AI to summarise the main reasons for something, so why people voted Leave or Remain in the EU referendum in 2016. First of all, the students would need to formulate an appropriate prompt. They would then evaluate the results, either individually or in small groups or even as a class, to first of all judge whether the response was generally correct or not. Then they should discuss whether the response was trustworthy or not. Did it contain questionable data, uncited sources, wrong or even misleading facts? And then, were there signs of bias? Could they have phrased their prompt differently to avoid this? If so, they should experiment further. Improving a text. Students could use AI to improve a text. Again, this is a good way to get them to reflect on their prompts and how best to achieve the results they need. Improve the following text is too general as a prompt and won't necessarily create a better text. Students will have to decide what needs improving, maybe the content, syntax, language, grammar, and in each case, how might it need improving? Maybe the syntax should be simpler, the language more differentiated, maybe more varied vocabulary, more formal or a more appropriate level of language. Interestingly, even if they do specify the level according to the Common European Framework, they would need to check whether AI actually keeps to this. Collecting pros and cons. Students collect pros and cons for an essay and then ask ChatGPT to do the same. They also ask it to provide quotes, sources and examples. Again, the essay title that they use won't necessarily be a good prompt for ChatGPT, but it'll need to be refined to produce the response that they're looking for. Students will, of course, also then need to check the information provided for accuracy and trustworthiness. In the age of artificial intelligence, critical thinking has become increasingly important and is a skill that we all need to improve. At times, it's all too easy to delegate our thinking to search machines or chatbots, to just accept what's presented without stopping to question the authenticity of the results or who or what might be behind them. And as applications such as ChatGPT are often inaccurate, this could have far-reaching consequences. A 2023 article on the MIT Horizon website suggests there are three things we can do to keep up our critical thinking skills as AI continues to advance. Firstly, learn. We need to keep building on our knowledge and skills, even if it's something that we think a computer might be able to do for us. This will provide us with a base from which to make connections and form new ideas beyond what ChatGPT can do. Secondly, evaluate. We should be critical and look for sources to back up claims we come across, not just those generated by AI, but also news articles, YouTube videos, and other media. And finally, reflect. After having used AI, we should consider whether it delivered the desired results, what was in accordance with our own thinking, and what wasn't. In essence, today it's about knowing and teaching students how to think, not what to think. Thanks for listening.
Teaching English Today, The Four Cs and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gerch was brought to you by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.